We have been discussing the story of Shimshon, and we left off last time. So Shimshon, we discussed, has interesting approach to how to start up with the Plishtim. And last time we left him, he went and he got married to a Philistine woman, and things didn't go great. And
she converted,
right? But after he married her, her father went to marry her off to another guy also, which is no way to make friends.
And no way to do a conversion.
What?
Wanted to marry her off to another Philistine guy?
Right. So.
Got a better offer.
So, needless to say, when Shimshon found out that his wife married someone else, he was less than pleased. So, let's start Perek Tes Vav. So it comes, it's a little bit later, and Shimshon comes back to his father-in-law and says, I'm here to pick up my wife. And his father-in-law says, Vayomer Avia, Omar Amarti, Kisa Noa Senesi Isa, Vetnen Rumreacha, Haloa Chosakatana Tova Mimena, Dino Racha Tachtea. He says, well, listen, I saw things were not working out well between you and her. So, you know, I did you a favor, I married her off to someone else, but have I got a deal for you? She's got a younger sister, Mama, she'll be much happier with her. Vayomer Ham Shimshon. He said, oh, that's it. Now I'm really mad. Now I'm going to do you guys but good. See, once and he catches 300 foxes and he ties them up by their tails and he puts a torch in between.
Four foxes.
We'll get to that. Vayaver ish barapidim, vayishach bakamos plishtim, vayaver migadish ad kamav ad karam zayas. So as you can guess, two foxes, ties tail together, with a torch between them, are running throughout the fields, setting everything on fire. And if you think herding cats was tough, right? Herding foxes with their tails tied together with torches in between is even more difficult. So basically what did he do? He burned down all of their fields through this method. Now, I'm not much of an arsonist myself.
Why not just light them?
What? Right? I'm an amateur maybe. But no. But the question is, why specifically this approach?
Clever.
It's different. He definitely gets originality points.
It's out of the box.
It's dramatic.
It is dramatic. It's true. The Gemara in Sota says that he was alluding to something in this. By this, Vayera Shimshon Vayilkot Shrosh Meyo Shualim. Mai Shno Shualim. Why specifically foxes? Omar of Evo Bar Negdi, Omar of Chia Bar Avak, Omar Shimshon, Yavo Misha Chozla Achorav, Yifram Yiplishim Shachazu Bishvuasam. What does it say? He says that we know that traditionally the trait of a fox is what?
Sly.
Sly fox. But anyone, if you've seen read any great literature like Zootopia, you are familiar with the idea that foxes by nature are known to be sly. They're not trustworthy. So he said these people, they were not trustworthy. They backed out on what they said, and therefore they'll be punished. Who are the foxes who cannot be trusted? Right.
The people are like foxes.
Right. That's what he's indicating. The Chelkas Yaakov raises the point that Patty raised. Very interesting question. The Chelkas Yaakov is Rav Yaakov Breisch. He lived before, during, and after the Second World War. He was the Rav in? That is correct. I knew you know that one. So, interesting question. Very, very contemporary question. B'davar hashar imutu rigum tzar barei chayim aradei nisyonos shonim begufam rishim chakiros madayot retoeras chachmas harafua. Are you allowed to use lab animals to test medications? A common question that we have nowadays. So, in this discussion, whether or not it is considered tzar barei chayim, I mean, obviously, the animals potentially will feel pain, right? In certain cases, I'm sure you'll give the animal a drug and then you will kill the animal and do an autopsy to see what happened. That, under normal circumstances, we consider tzar barei chayim. Doing unnecessarily giving pain to animals, are you allowed to do it in this case? So, in the middle discussion, he quotes as follows, that there was a tshuva written that says, of course you're allowed to do that. You know how we know that? From Shimshon and the foxes, right? Clearly, that for whatever purpose you need, you're allowed to, right? Shimshon was a religious man. He wouldn't have done anything wrong. So clearly,
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, we're gonna stick with that assumption for the time being. He was a shofet, you know. So he said, "Tevana v'didan de ein lanu mokar ne'aman migemara de biyesh lo tzarech oshal tzar bayachayim." So he wants to say that tzar bayachayim is only to unnecessarily pain an animal, but if there is a need, a human need for this, then you are allowed to pain the animal. So he says he's having a hard time finding a source for this. Is tzar barei chayim that you're not allowed to pain animals, or you're not allowed to pain animals unnecessarily, right? Here, in the case of using it to test medications, that's not for no reason,
right?
So the question is, what is the problem? Is the problem to, in general, cause pain, or is the problem to cause pain without any greater purpose?
So what about you doing another method of setting the field on fire besides tying foxes?
So let's stick to lab animals now, right?
All right.
We'll get back to the case.
I thought you were going.
I'm going to go there, but I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay.
So he says, I haven't been able to find a source, but I did see somebody who uses a source that, of course, if it wasn't this, it wouldn't be on the sheet. So, of course, this is the source. Hinei ra'isi tshuva nitfas begon rev Hari Tzirlzin, I don't know who the real Tzirlzin is, Shemevi Raimi, possibly Forish Beshoftim, Tesvav Dalad Hey, said, these psukim, in fact, are the proof. Sheshimshon hates his age, but tells Novo Shrosh Meo Shualim, Shalachad, Bichde Lisof is Yavur Haprishtim, Aide Shochen Chavshi Al Sada. That, in fact, Samson takes these foxes, ties them together, and sets them free with the torches in order to burn down the fields. Obviously, this was not pleasant for the foxes.
No.
Right? One would definitely consider this a case of tzar barei chayim. So therefore, he said, right? He says, of course it was allowed. Because Shimsha would never do a sin. So the fact is that there is a source here. That is the proof that he would like to bring. Adam Godlo Kishimshem Shechazal Itru B'Shem Tzadik B'Sheruach Kodesh Hoshem B'Kash Keshels Refound of Kazug. Somebody who we call a Tzadik, somebody who the Spirit of God rang from within him like a bell, as we saw two parakim ago. Kidi Isa B'Sota B'Nazir Lamdu Razal the Nazir Shimshem Mutar Itamay Remesim Shechin Matzino B'Shimshem Shemari Haya Heter Pashal Oyem Itamay Remesim. And in fact, the Gemara assumes this way also. Remember, we discussed, Shimshon was a different type of Nazir. He never accepted upon himself, but he was in vitro, right? In utero. He was already an in utero Nazir. So he said he has different rules. And one of the rules was, we said that unlike a typical Nazir, he's allowed to come in contact with dead bodies. How do we know that? Well, he did. And the assumption is, well, if he did, he was allowed to. Because he wouldn't do something that he wasn't allowed to do. So if the Gemara makes the assumption there that he wouldn't come in contact with a dead body if he wasn't allowed to, we can also assume that he wouldn't set foxes on fire with the tails tied together if they wasn't allowed to. That is the proof. So therefore, it must be allowed, and therefore you see for a greater good, there is no problem with Tzar Balei Chayim.
Does he address why what Shimshon did was for the greater good as opposed to his...
So in the next line, he's just going to reject the whole thing. So... four lines from the bottom. V'raya ze'eno makir, eneni makir, I don't understand where he's coming from. Again, this is a quote, this is not his opinion. The Beisahi, a Plishtim, Hoy Moshe, my Yisrael, before Shem Pasak, Yodu, Kime Hashem, who Kisira, who Mavakis, me Plishtim. The Chomasa, Yerushem, Mochamas Mitzvah. He said this was all done for the sake of war. He was fighting against the Plishtim. That was the whole purpose of all of this. The purpose of getting married in order that they would take his wife away from him in order that he could attack. This was all a setup. He said, don't tell me this is a purpose. This was a much higher purpose. He said, this is during war. If during war, can I shoot a horse? The cavalry is coming at me. Can I start shooting at the horses?
Yeah.
Well, if I could shoot at the people, I could shoot at the horses, yes?
So where's the army in this war?
What?
He is the army.
Just one guy,
mm-hmm.
And war.
And he's doing pretty darn good. Well, don't knock it.
He's doing a lot of destruction, that's for sure.
Right, well, that's the purpose of a war.
He's left, so he can knock off 30 people just to get their clothes.
Right, right.
He's doing a lot of killing.
Right, he's a one-man wrecking crew. Right, he is the Terminator. Right? So he says, this idea is rejected because if he's allowed to kill people, of course he's allowed to hurt foxes. He said, so therefore he rejects the idea that this is any sort of proof. But that's what Shimshon does. All right. Not a proof. Not a proof. You want to know what we hold of a Maisa? Yes. Well, Maisa, we hold that for any human need, it's allowed. And therefore, any human need, it is allowed. And therefore, for refuah, it is undoubtedly allowed.
Refuah, right. That makes sense. But right? Any human need?
So, I should... Well, again, if I... Let's see, we'll try to stay on topic.
Okay.
But the Nodi B'Yehuda is not into hunting for fun.
Okay.
Because he doesn't see that as a need.
Right. It's not a human need.
So again, you have to define human need. I want it doesn't make it a human need.
Exactly. I want to take these fields out.
This is war.
Right, this is war. You know, for whatever reason, he thought this would be the way to go. And?
Were the Christians in charge of the Jews?
Yes, we were under their control. And he is using this to basically go to war and free the Jews.
Trying to provoke, that's for sure.
Right, and doing a pretty good job.
Absolutely, taking out a lot of beings, live beings.
So, Vav. Vayomru Plishtim, mi yasazos? Vayomru Shimshon Chasan HaTimni, ki rakachas ishto vayitna l'mereyu, vayaru Plishtim v'yisru osa v'esav yabesh. They said, who did this? And they said, well, Shimshon did it because his father-in-law took his wife away from him. And the Plishtim say, the man seems to have a point. And with that, they go and they burn Shimshon's wife and her father.
Oh, the Philistines did?
That's the ones. And her father.
Her and her mom.
Correct. So Shimshon has now totally laid wreck to the Plishtim lands, and he got away without even being blamed for it.
Instead, he took out two more
for good. For good measure.
What happened to her younger sister?
What? She's still available if you're interested. I'll give you a phone number afterwards if you're interested. Okay. Thank you, Wayutara. Great. Get private messages on this now. So he said, all right, that's a good start, but I'm not quite done here with this. So with that, he goes and he starts beating up these people, breaking their thighs.
I don't understand what he's saying there. It just isn't making sense to me. Can you help me understand what he's saying?
What? So he said what he says to that. What?
You mean the struck them calf upon the thigh?
I think she means the verse beforehand.
Yes.
Right.
So.
We have to give the official translation.
You want it?
Give it. Go for it.
Samson said to them,
it's not just my wife that makes people read, okay?
If only you had done so before, in parentheses, the before is, now I will avenge myself against you, and afterwards I will stop.
Right. So he said, basically, well, that's a good start, but I'm not quite done.
Burning the
right,
wood in the
fire. Right. That's nice, but you know what? I'm still upset. So there he goes, takes out a few more people for good measure.
I didn't know what he was saying.
Okay.
What do you mean, but done so before? Like,
meaning that you know, he gave away my wife months ago. I just came out and found out about it. How did you allow that to happen? So therefore, I'm still upset. Tess, vayalu plishim vayachnu biYehuda vayinachu b'lechi. Okay. So with that, they go and they head out to the place of Lech. So they come to Yehuda and they say, we're going to attack you. So the people of Yehuda said to the police, what are you attacking us for? What's your problem? They said, we're here to get Shimshon. Because we've had enough of this guy. This guy is just a one-man wrecking crew.
And
they went to him and they said 3,000 people down the border. He said, Shimshon, why are you doing this? You're upsetting the Plishtim, right? And now they're going to come after us. And he says, well, they started. But that, again, I don't know if that's the direct art scroll translation, but that's more or less his point.
And they did to me, so I did to them.
Right.
It sounded like a 12-year-old.
A mighty big 12-year-old.
You skipped this cleft of the rock of Etam.
That's where Shimshon is sitting. So they came.
That's his hiding place?
No, he's just kind of sitting. He's not hiding.
But what is this place that's named?
What? It's a place that was well known, right? He's sitting on this rock.
Like
that's where.
Mall?
Well, kind of, but it doesn't have that dinosaur area where you can play, as far as I know.
But
they have a Haggadah, but it's owned by a Philistine guy, not by toys. But besides, that's about the exact same. So, anyway, Haggadah is actually a Philistine word. It's Philistine for dulce de leche or something. In fact, I think next shavuah is they're donating some stuff to us. So he's hanging out there, and 3,000 people come by, and they said, why are you starting off with the Philistines? And they basically says, well, they started. And they said, well, you know, that's great that they started, but now they're going to attack and wipe us out unless we give you over. So therefore, you bade. Vayomru lo le'asarcha yoradnu l'sitcha biyad plishtim ve'olem Shimshon hishavali pentifku biyatem. He said, well, we're here to give you over to the plishtim so they don't attack us. So he says, all right, as long as you don't do anything to me, I'm cool with that.
What about this binding thing?
What? They're going to...
Bind Samson, we are come
up. We're here to tie you up and hand you over.
Well, how is that not doing something to
him? Well, it don't hurt me.
Because they're turning him over.
Right. Now,
this doesn't sound like the relationship between a shofet and the people over who...
This isn't your typical shofet. Let's be honest here. Right? Right, you know, you talk about leaders that, you know, sometimes tweet things that might be a little embarrassing, but this is perhaps even a step beyond that, I might suggest.
Kind of close.
What? This is a non-political.
I don't think he was a racist.
You think he was a racist or wasn't a racist?
Was.
Yeah, he's against racist. The police team.
That's So, this, of course, falls into a very interesting question. This is a question that appears a surprisingly large amount of times in Nach, and we will see it again and again. We'll even see it again in Shoftim still. And that is the following question. What if a non-Jewish army surrounds a city and says, either you give over X, or we're going to kill you all?
We've had this dilemma.
Exactly. And they gave over.
We discussed it.
Right.
A moral dilemma.
Correct. So the question, so what did we say?
We sent over the head, if I recall correctly.
No.
What's a... So again, Patty is correct that in Shmuel there was the case of Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri. So again, I don't want to ruin this for anyone who hasn't read Shmuel yet, right? So this is a spoiler alert. But who signed up for Shmuel Bays? Shmuel Bays. Is it still open? Okay, that's why he's not here tonight. Good. Okay, tell him not to listen. Tell him not to listen to the recording. What happens is as follows: David suffers through a rebellion of his son Absalom. And that goes really not well. But eventually, David is victorious. It doesn't end in a good way for Absalom at all. And then everything is back to normal until this guy Sheva ben Bichri wakes up. And he says, well, no, I'm not okay with this. I'm going to be king and I'm rebelling. Now, unlike Absalom, who was the son of David, and David obviously had feelings for him, he could care less about Sheva ben Bichri. So basically, he sends Yoav, his general, to get this guy, Sheva ben Bichri, and just be done with him. They surround the city that he's in, and they're ready to attack, and a wise woman says, excuse me, what are you doing here? So he said, well, we are here because there's this guy, Sheva ben Bichri, who's rebelling, and, you know, we're going to attack the city and get him. She said, so give me a minute. And a few minutes later, she doesn't come back, but Sheva ben Bichri's head comes flying over the wall. And they say, thank you very much, and everyone goes home. Now, the question is, that would seem to be a paradigm of what we're looking at here, right?
Not so much. There's a more of the Malchus.
Right. So why not so much?
Because that guy was trying to overthrow.
So you're saying he was deserving of the death penalty, right?
Right.
Which is what we said. So in fact, this, if you look at the Yerushalmi in number 3, right, this discussion is a Malchus. So Tani Siosh Bnei Adam Shayu Bahalchem Baderek Lufogu Bahem Goyim Ramu Tnu Lanu Echad Mechem V'Naro Goso V'Imrav Harei Anu Horgim Es Kulchem. Says there's a caravan that gets attacked and says, give over a person or we're going to kill you all. So again, in this case, in case number 1, they don't single out anybody. They said, just give us one to kill.
Anyone.
We're not picky. Right? That's it. We're pretty laid back.
Just want to kill somebody with Shema.
That's right. Afilu kol neragol yimsu nefesh achas mi Yisrael. In that case, you don't give it, even if they're going to kill everybody, you don't give someone over. We all go down together. Yichdu lehem echad. If he says specifically, I want that one. Kigon Sheva ben Bichri, as was the case by Sheva ben Bichri, yimsu osova yahargu. Give him over and don't get killed. Amr of Shimon ben Lakish v'hu she'chai misa k'sheva ben Bichri. Reish Lakish says, only if that guy deserves it. If not, you don't give him over. If Yochan Omer, af al pi she'eino chai misa k'sheva ben Bichri. He said, no matter what, whether he deserves it or not, you give him over. That is a machokes.
Who says that?
Rav Yochanan.
Okay.
In general, machokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we follow the opinion of? Rav Yochanan. Why Rav Yochanan?
He was his Rebbe.
And his?
Brother-in-law.
Right? So we owe identity. The Rambam, surprisingly, doesn't. The Rambam says, Noshim Nisham Rahem, Ovdei Chacham, Tenu Anu Achas Mikhem, V'nitma Osa, V'im Rav Nitma Es Kulchem, Yitbu Kulam Bal Yimso Rahem, Nefesh Achas Mishrael. Similar case, if there are women, and they say we would like one of the women to have our way with, you don't give her over, even if it means that everyone gets attacked. Similarly, says if they say, give us over one to kill, everyone gets killed, we all go down together. If they say, give us that one, if the person deserves death, then you give him over. Who's that following? Reish Lakish.
But who makes that decision about she deserves it or he deserves it? I mean, who makes that decision?
I do.
I mean, they're in a tense situation. They're, you know.
Well, again, they're off after the guy because he's a murderer.
That's an easy one.
Okay.
But what if I want this woman? Please send that woman out to us.
Well, so again, I don't think that she deserves it.
correct.
Okay, so that's an easy one.
The Reish Lakish said no.
The Reish Lakish says only if the person deserves it. So again, in I can't imagine a case where the woman deserves it. Right? I think it's only talking about the case of the death penalty.
Got it.
But he goes beyond that. He doesn't say deserves it. He says Chayav Misar, that suggests that he was tried and found guilty.
No. Was Sheva ben Bichri tried and found guilty by Beis Din?
No, he was married by Malchus.
Was he tried and found guilty by Beis Din? Did he have due process, counselor?
He did not have due process.
Did he have his habeas corpus rights?
Seriously, when you're dealing with the concept of Mered b'Malchus, isn't it really just the fiat of the king? If the king declares that...
No.
So you have to go...
Again, in general, there is a fiat of the king, but that's not limited to this, right? Right? It's good to be king, right? The king can say, oh, he has a right to kill without
witnessing. Off with
his head. Off with his head. There you have it.
Thank you, Queen of
Hearts. Thank you, Mel Brooks.
Good to be king.
That's correct. So he says, V'ein morin lehem k'chein l'chachir, v'im eino chayim isa yargu kulam v'al yimsu lehem nefesh achas mi Yisrael. The Rambam surprisingly follows the opinion of Reish Lakish here. Rashi, totally different Gemara, backs into this. Rashi is talking about a woman who is in the travails of birth and her life is in danger.
So the Uber is a rodent.
So in the so what's the halacha?
You can sacrifice the infant.
What?
The unborn baby.
Was that Jenny?
Until the head comes out.
But she's laboring hard. The head has not come out.
So. Right. So this is a case where the head has come out.
Oh, it has. Okay.
So yatzar rosho. The head has come out. Those are the first two words in number
so
five.
Get him out already.
Thank you.
Why do you assume all children that are born are boys? Let's just get him out.
get him out. That's
and get him out.
get him out.
Oh, that was weak.
No, AM is plural.
So he said, get her out! No. You would have expected you to say that. So, the Isha Makshalele, Dumasukenis. It's a woman who's having a difficult birth and she's in danger. If the child is not yet born, you can abort the baby, even at this very late term, in order to save the mother. The Kol Zman Shlo Yotzal Avir Olam Lav Nefeshu V'Nitam L'Hargu L'Hatzilas Imo. In the event that the child has not entered the air of this world, it's not considered a full person, and therefore a full person takes precedence. Alva Yotzal Rosho, but once his head has come out, a Nogim Bo L'Hargu, you can't kill him. The Havirei Ki Yorud V'Ein Dochen Nefesh Mifnei Nefesh. You don't kill one person to save another person. Rashi now out of the blues. V'im tomar ma'aseh de Sheva ben Bichri. Wait a second. What about Sheva ben Bichri? How did he get in there? Hinei rosho mushlach alecha. And what did they throw his head over? Did dachu nefesh mipay nefesh? They killed one person to save another person in that case.
A lot of people.
Hasam mishum dafilo masru lohoye nerag be'ir kishe yitpaseda yoav v'hein neragam imo. He said, because the bottom line is, if Yoav would have attacked, you know what would have happened? He would have been killed anyhow, together with everybody else. Now, does that sound like Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan? That very much sounds like Reb Yochanan, because it doesn't matter whether he deserves to be killed or not. What matters is that in fact,
we don't do that.
He's dying anyway. They pointed to him. He's going to die one way or the other. So therefore, based on that, we kill him.
It
has nothing to do whether he deserves it or not. This is a matter of practically, either X will die or X plus everybody else will die.
So that's the same case with Shimshon then.
What?
That's similar.
So we'll get back to Shimshon. There's a reason why we're here. Inamishin de Mori B'Malchus have a Hachim before Shlebetosefto. Or perhaps that's the case of Mori B'Malchus, that's not a proof here. But Rashi clearly is going with the first approach, because why else would he raise it by the case of the child that is being born? So we seem to have a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Who do we follow in this case? The Rambam quotes it and is exceedingly unhelpful. They say, give us over and or we'll kill him. You can't do it unless they say, give us such a person. He said, there is a machlokas here. Some people say, once they say, give us that person, you give it. The other people say, no, only if the person deserves it. So we have here two opinions. What's the story here with Shimshon? Okay. What was going to happen here was Shimshon is sitting in Yehuda. The Plishtim must say, we're going to attack the entire Yehuda in order to get Shimshon, unless you just give us Shimshon and that'll be the end of it. Was Shimshon Chayev Misa? But again, it's not the Plishtim who are poskening the Shiloh.
Right. He's trying to free the Jews.
Right.
I don't think the Jewish people have a good understanding exactly of what Shimshon is doing. I could be wrong, but I don't know that
he's killing a lot of Philistines. That's what he's doing.
Okay, but
I think we all got that down.
But not using any diplomacy.
No, again, the diplomacy involves foxes and torches right now.
Right. And killing people and...
You know, it's what? Right. So the question was, so according to the Rav Yochanan approach, well, it doesn't matter if he deserves it or not.
Give him over.
Right?
They're assuming he would die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the case of the...
Right. Isheva ben Bichri case. Right? According to Reish Lakish, well, then there's what to talk about. Yeah. Now, what happened? Did they give him over? Or did he volunteer?
Yeah, it sounds like he's volunteering.
As long as you don't
have to hurt me. Right. Right. The question, if he was said, you know, heck no, I won't go. I've got my cleft of my rock. You know what?
I'm just my ground.
That's right.
Then why did they
don't
down?
Mess with the cleft because the cleft don't mess. There's 3,000 of them. I don't know. Samson. As a judge? Yeah. That's right. No, this is Supreme Court. It's a lifetime appointment. Whether you like it or not, he's here, she's here, whatever
well,
it is.
He sort of volunteers, kind of.
Right, but the fact, if you tell me, say it's a question one way or the other, right? If it's a matter of they're ready to do it, whether he agrees or not, the question is, well, that would seem to be against Reish Lakish. If they'll say, well, if you don't volunteer, we won't give you over, then that's against Rav Yochanan. So
he doesn't protest. That seems for sure.
No, he doesn't protest.
It sounds like he's going into the lion's den purposely.
Mm-hmm. So let's just take a look at some of the approaches. The Radak by Sheva ben Bichri comes back to this case, number 7. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Eimasai, when do these rules play? Bezman shehum mi bifnim vehem mi bachutz. Kamo she'osu b'nei Yehuda b'shimshon. Pirish, shehoye yochel li'moreit shimshon, shehoye mi bifnim v'sera, v'fichach ro nitnu elo midaito. So the Radak says as follows. He says, the idea that you give the person over, even according to Rav Yochanan, is only if the person has no way of escaping. Meaning, let's take this case. Let's say they surround the shul right now, and they say that unless you give over, peri nissen, right, we're going to wipe you all out. That's the point. Peri, surprisingly, is not here. So... Right, so the idea being that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the whole logic was what? He's going to die either way. That would not apply here, where Perry can make a one. As far as I know, Perry's on his way to the border right now as we speak.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. So therefore, even Rav Yochanan would agree that we can't give him over. He said, so too Shimshon was not with the people. Shimshon was, that's why we keep on saying.
In the cleft.
He's in the cleft. He's safe. Right? So therefore, the people are saying, listen, we can't make you, but now we're in trouble. So he says, okay, I'll be a champ. I'll take one
for the team.
Take one for the team, right? So that's the Radax approach. The Radax approach is this whole discussion doesn't apply because he's not in the area that is surrounded, right? They're just basically using the people as you know, as a hostage situation. Unless you give over Shimshon, we're going to kill you all.
I mean, this is a detail, but if he's in this cleft, how are they communicating?
He went to the cleft. That is the Radax approach. The Malbim has a different approach. The Malbim says, "Hal yadati ki moshim banu plishtim ki adinu she'akum shemu tnu lanu echad michem nageinu olvoyim seru ela imke chay misa kashev ben bechri." So he's quoting the opinion of the Rambam that you can only give the person over if he's obligated. Rots roma afsh inu chay midin Torah rak midin malchus v'chein im haya rodef rabim shal yedei she'agia sakana l'chay Yisrael shaz mosim oso achol yachduhu. So he says that, in fact, when it talks about going back to the discussion, was he, when he says if he's obligated, if he's deserving of the death penalty, that doesn't mean that halachically he gets the death penalty, but rather that in their laws he deserves the death penalty.
But we don't care about their laws.
So it says here, the assumption is, we do care.
You mean if he deserves the death penalty according to the Philistines, then we give him
right?
Over?
So again, even if he's saying, "Ochai midin Torah," even according to Torah, he wouldn't be. He would, right, said, "Rak midin malchus," just because of the government's rules, right? For example, if the guy has been burning down fields and wiping out tons of your citizens, it's understandable that that
Israel is not under occupation, but they're under the hegemony of the Philistines. They mm-hmm. want to break the yoke of the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we care one whit about the laws of the Philistines? The whole idea is that we're at war and we want to get rid of the Philistines.
So let's change some names. Let's make up a case. Let's say it wasn't the Philistines, but it was, I don't know, the British. And they want to break away from the British. And now there is some fellow who's running around killing Brits. I don't know. What's like the guy going to do?
Like a Ben Gurion or something. I mean, Ben-Gurion.
A Begin.
Not a Begin, that's
I say the guy decides he wants to go pull up the King David Hotel.
Something like that.
I don't know. Crazy talk. Right? So again, if you were a justice in the English system.
No, in the English system, fine. But we're talking about the Jewish people.
I understand. But again, so the point that the Malbim was making is this isn't some random bandits or pirates who want to, or mafiosos who want to kill a person. These are people who, under the rightful rule of law, want to arrest a murderer.
But these are the
now, he might be our murderer.
But these are the people who we're fighting against. The whole premise of this
right,
is
so yeah,
that we're at war, and that's the justification for
lead?
Which Shimshon was doing.
So again, right, was there a declaration of war, Jenny wants to know?
Not only that, it's saying we, but it's only Shimshon that's doing this.
We meaning the Jewish people.
Fighting the war?
No,
yeah, he seems to be fighting this war solo.
Exactly. I don't see this army behind him. I don't even see guerrillas behind
Why
him.
Why does there have to be an army behind him? He's the shofet of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael being subjugated by the Plishtim in their own land.
I get that.
And we cannot go off, you know, go against the Plishtim.
I don't hear the people of Yehuda saying, yeah, we're with you. We're right behind you.
Go get him, Shimshon.
He's the shofet. They're not.
Mm-hmm. So the Malbim says that, in fact, there is an argument here. So they said to him, what's their argument? So we just said, you know, don't you realize what you're doing? That's how we read it. So the Malbim reads a little different. He says, we are subjects of the Plishtim. We are bound by their laws. You're violating the law. Now you're making trouble for all of us. He said, no, I didn't mean to put anyone else in danger. This is something personal. They took my wife. I even the score. He said, this has nothing to do with you people. This is between me and them. Or Sameach, a little bit of a different approach. So he says that there is another rule, which is a little bit related to this, where he says as follows. Let's say there is a counterfeiter among the... there's a fellow who is collecting right before the shear and right at the beginning of the shear and through a chunk of the shear. And I gave him a donation, and someone quipped to me. He said, is that real? I told him, absolutely. I just printed it right now. It's still warm. You can feel it. Right?
Very real. Right there.
This isn't theoretical. This isn't Bitcoin. This is real. So the argument being that in the event that there is someone among the Jewish people who is perpetrating a great financial fraud, right, that could endanger the entire Jewish people. And in that case, the Jews have a right to give the person over in order to make it clear that we don't support this. Right, so he wanted to say that this was a similar case here, that the actions of this one vigilante was in fact endangering everybody. Now Carl's going to say again, but he's the shofet. So I'm going to say, well, who died and elected him the shofet?
But the whole premise is that he's the shofet. This is Sefer Shofet.
Yeah, but the book wasn't printed yet. No one knew who was in it.
All right, well, let me take it from a different tack.
Okay.
B'nai Yisrael are living in their own land.
Correct.
Right. The Plishtim have now subjugated the Jewish people in their own land.
Because they think it's their land.
And also because the Jews did badly.
Well, let's keep God out of this, okay?
Okay, fine.
Keep God out of words. Jews versus the Plishtim.
Excuse me.
This is Navi, okay? Just hold on to God.
It just seems to me that to in any way accept the legitimacy of Philistine law and to say that they have legitimate control and rulership over Israel and their own land, to me that makes no sense. And the whole notion that you would give over a Jew, let alone a Jewish leader, to the Plishtim is just... Let me give you another example. I mean, let's say that you're dealing with you have partisans fighting against the Nazis. So the Nazis are upset. So you're going to turn over the partisans to the Nazis.
Okay. Now it's going to get ugly. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say Israel takes over the ancestral Palestinian homeland.
There is no ancestral Palestine.
Right, where the Palestinians have been living through for centuries in peace, just picking their olives.
All right,
and now this occupational, colonialistic Jewish state comes in, and now the freedom fighters of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, right, are fighting for what is rightfully theirs. This is going to be great to take out of context.
Don't listen from the middle.
At the end of the day, the Jewish people entered the land of Israel. They conquered the land of Israel that's given to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's their land.
And now they got the boot.
We've gotten the boot
And Hashem appointed a leader to redeem the Jewish people from.
But they're not there yet. Right? They're still. They're
let
still.
The process play itself out.
So again, it's very hard to make an argument to the current government, be it the Philistines or the Israeli government, that you know the process will play out. Just give them a little time. When you're going to be thrown out of here, don't worry about it. Just give us a chance.
I reject the analogy.
I understand, of course. I did, as do I. But we should get that on the record at some point.
Right,
right. But again, but you know, but you're a terrorist, is my freedom fighter. Yes, yes. And that's why I'm hereby announcing live my intention to run for the Democratic nomination. I'm going to be on the third night of debates. I'm on the third night. I'm on the third night. Me and my buddy Steve Bullock, we're going to go together. We're running. Okay.
Is he from Bullock's department store?
Right, that's exactly.
Really?
Can't sneak nothing by you, Marcia. Okay. All right, so he says, fine, give me over. So again, whether they were going to do this one way or the other, whether it was his acquiescence that allowed this, they're going to tie him over and they're going to hand him to the Philistines. Yud Gimel, Vayomer lo, Leimor, lo ki asar nasrecha, v'nasanucha v'yadam v'ameis, lo nivisecha v'yasru v'shneim avotim chadashim v'ayelum v'nasela. They said, no, we're not going to hurt you. We're just going to tie you up. And they take two new ropes and they tie him up and they bring him off the rock. So he gets there and all of a sudden, his strength gives a flare. The Spirit of God is upon him and he busts through these ropes like he would bust through burnt flax, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean, you'll explain it to me.
Vayimtza
l'chi chamor tria, vayishrach yado v'yikachea v'yachba elavish. With that, he grabs the jawbone of a donkey and he beats 1,000 people to death with it.
Some donkey.
That's no glass jaw. Now he says, oddly enough, Vayomer Shimshon, Belechi HaChamor, Chamor Chamor Asayim, Belechi HaChamor Hikesi Elavish. He makes up a little bit of a song in honor of the occasion. He says, with the jaw of a donkey, two donkeys, with the jaw of a donkey, I killed 1,000 people. And he skips rope to that.
How did two donkeys get into it?
We'll get to that, believe it or not.
But hold on. Just like right. The foxes, is there a reason he's taking the jawbone of an ass?
Well, again, it's right. That's what he had handy.
That's my question. Is it just what was handy, or is there a message here?
Any more foxes?
We'll get to that. That's right. There was a fox shortage at the time. Avi points out.
Now I understand.
Right, they run in the endangered species list for some reason. We have no idea why. And with that, he flips off the jaw, and he referred to the area as Ramat Lechi. All of a sudden, he's really thirsty. It's been a long day. And he cries out to God. He says, after I did this, you're going to have me die of thirst and have them beat up on me? What happens then? What? Right from the tooth socket. What?
The bloody jawbone.
Right? All of a sudden.
The tooth socket was still clean.
That's right. All of a sudden springs out a spring or a well or something of that. And with that, and the area is known to this day as Eina Kare Asher Balechi. Vayishbar Yisrael Bimei Plishtim Esrim Shana. And with that, he is the judge for 20 years.
Do we know where that is, by the way?
What? South Jersey. No. Let's take a look at the Medrash. I'm sorry, Chicago. Pronounced there. The Medrash talks about this story a little bit. It's a very odd story, and the Medrash doesn't really clean it up much. Don Yadin Amo Kachat Shifte Yisrael. Again, all these are found in Parshas Vayechi, right? Where Yaakov is talking about different Shvatim, and when he talks about the Shevet of Don, he's talking about Shimshon. We've mentioned that before. Over Vishu ben Nechemi, Ilure Shinidbak Rumiyuchet Shabashvatim Afiru Shofet Echesh Hemil Hoya Ma'amid. He said, wouldn't it be for the fact that there was a connection between Don and the number one Shevet, they wouldn't even gotten one Shofet out. The Eza Zen, who is the one Shofet that came from them? Ze Shimshon ben Manoach. Shimshon was the only Shofet that came out of Don. He yechidu shel Orem, ma yechidu shel Orem eino tzorech siyua, kach Shimshon ben Manoach eino tzorech siyua. He was like God. Just like God doesn't need help, Shimshon didn't need help. Rather, he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Mahu tria, what does it mean it was fresh? Bar tchosa yamim, only 3 days old. Rabbi Avon Omar bitna tarin.
Does that mean that it was dead for 3 days?
Yes. He died to the Rabbi Avon, the Omar Rabbi Avon, balechia chamor chamor chamorotayim. He said that in fact it was one of two, and that's why it says chamor chamorotayim. It's one of two. By Yitzmamo, he was very thirsty. The mefat peit tzachi. Omer Rav Chunya v'Rav Arzaya b'shem Rav Yochanan afilo yatzartzor shamayim oya yochel lifhoshet yado litro. He was so weakened by the thirst that there could have been a cup of water right in front of him. He did not have the strength to reach out and take it. That's how bad a state he was in. Ela v'yikra Hashem v'yomer ato nasata v'yad avdecha. Omer refanav ribon ha'olamim im eino b'ni revencha o hamira hazos kedayu shiro epo b'yodam. He said, if I have nothing that going for me other than the fact that I have a bris and they don't, that is reason enough that I should be saved. And right away, the spring came forth. Rabbi Levi Rabbanan, Rabbi Levi Omer HaMokam Ahu Shmo Lechi, Rabbi Nyonam Omer HaMokam Ahu Machtesh Shmo. So the question is, what was the name of the place? Was it called Lechi or was it Machtesh? Rabbi Avar Baruch Hadav, Rabbi Rechiam, B'shem Rabbi Lezim, Ramesh Hevio HaKosh Baruch Mayim Ben Shinov. That actually the spring sprung out of where? Between his own teeth. Means that he could not even reach out to get water. God made a spring forth in his mouth. This is based on the blessing given to them by Moshe Rabbeinu in Zos HaBracha.
Which bracha are we talking about?
No. What?
What is the book that gives you? She's asking for a reminder of that book.
You like the words?
Yeah. Yes.
I will read it inside for you. If we all turn, or none of us turn, to Zos HaBracha. Ledon Amar Dun Gur Ayeh Yizanek Min HaBashan. It says, and I quote, Avdon, he said, Avdon is a like of leaping forth from Bashan. So Yizanek min HaBashan, leaping forth, mean that it will be coming, me Bashan is me Bain Shinav. He reads it. That Yizanek, it will spring forth from between his teeth. So that is the bracha that Moshe gave to him that ultimately at this point saves his life. So far here we have Shimshon. Shimshon is doing a mighty fine job of making the Plishtim's life miserable. And finally, the people have caught on to this, that this is good for them, and they've gotten behind him. And now he is the judge, accepted by all. And everything will be really, really, really good until next week when we meet Delilah. Right. Okay, so we will continue with that next week. Yes, Marsha.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we will discuss. So that's
20 years later. I'll be out.
I have to listen to the last part. Sorry about that.
You can film it. Yes.